Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled Confidence in the Holy Ghost. Have you ever received a truth that you knew could have only come from the Holy Ghost, and yet when you shared it with others, they threw cold water all over you and caused you to doubt what God had given you? Did you hold fast to what the Holy Ghost revealed to you, or did you cave in to the ideas of others? We need to have confidence in our relationship with the Holy Ghost and hold fast to what He shows us, even when others disagree. We need confidence in the Holy Ghost. I hope that you enjoy this message. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity to study your word and to see what you have for us, all the blessings. Father, I thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. I believe that, Holy Ghost, that you're going to minister this word through my mouth this evening. I yield myself to you in every way that I know how. And I come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. I arrest you now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the gift of your Son, our Lord and our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So last time we got together, we were looking in the book of 1 Corinthians. And the title of that message was Responsibility, Progression, and Success. And as you look at the entire letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, there's some themes, I believe, that stand out as you look through it. And I believe one of the themes is about accepting responsibility for your spiritual development and growing up and maturing in the things of God, and not relying on somebody else, not relying on other people to tell you what the Word of God says. You know, that's why God gave us the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's been sent to minister to us, to teach us. And right here in the 1 Corinthians in the second chapter, we see here why it is that each one of us has the capacity to be taught by Him. It's very clear how Paul wrote this here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. Look at that. That we might know. We can know the things that are freely given to us of God. Praise God. Let's stop there. You've been given the ability to understand the things of God in your reborn human spirit. Glory to God. And we can be taught by the Holy Spirit Himself, teaching us, bringing understanding into our hearts so that we don't have to rely on somebody else to tell us what the Bible says. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with teachers in the body. There's nothing wrong with ministers helping us understand things. But God wants each one of us individually to open our hearts to Him and to allow Him to teach us. He wants to be the teacher of our new nature. He wants to be the one that enlightens us on enlightening our understanding of the scriptures, and not for us to be dependent on some other person and their doctrine that they have and what they're teaching. And, you know, I have to stress that I'm not saying not to go and listen to ministers, because that's ridiculous. We're going to. We need to. But there's a difference between just sitting in a church service once a week, and that's, you know, the extent of your spiritual maturing and your spiritual nourishment, just whatever message you hear Sunday morning. There's more than that. And in order for a person to truly develop in the things of God and truly understand the hidden mysteries, the mysteries that, you know, Paul talks about in this very verse. If you go back in chapter 2, I said in the very verse, I actually meant in this very chapter. If you go backwards, verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And I personally believe that what he's talking about here is referring to our ability to pray in other tongues and how that enlists the ministry, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I've said this before, the Holy Spirit's been sent to teach each and every one of us. But clearly, not everyone is being taught by the Holy Spirit. And you can tell that by some of the things that some of the preachers are saying, some of the Christians are saying. You know, if something bad happens to them and they say, well, God's did it to them to teach them something. Well, that's just ridiculous. That's not anywhere in the Word of God. That's someone that doesn't know the nature of our Father. Our Father loves us. Our Father cares for us. He's not trying to teach us things by allowing the enemy to do bad things to us. That's just ridiculous. And yet, you can hear that message taught, I would say, in a large percentage of churches across this country. And it's just patently wrong. And so God empowered us to enlist the ministry of the Holy Spirit to teach us on an individual basis so that we would not be dependent on somebody else to teach us. So looking at this letter to the Corinthians, Paul, he talks in this first chapter about that very issue, where some of them were saying, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos and I'm of Cephas. They weren't relying on the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. They were looking to somebody else for something. And, you know, God brought this back to me again over in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians in the 21st verse. Look at what it says here. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Well, that's a powerful verse. I think I've taught on that before here, but let no man glory in men. And I tell you that is just a problem that is so prevalent in the body of Christ, where people seem to just line up behind whoever preacher they seem to take a liking to. They'll line up and they'll feed off of their revelation. Not necessarily that it's become revelation to them individually, but they'll feed on somebody else's. They like what they hear. They've got itching ears. They want to hear the next revelation, the next little tidbit. You know, so I don't know why. But that's what they'll tend to do. And then whenever they get tired with that person in that group, then they'll run over here to this other group and they'll look for, you know, the next revelation, the next great revelation. And, you know, what that tells me is this is a person who's not stable in what they believe. They have to be told what they believe, but they don't know themselves what they believe. They lack confidence. They lack the confidence of knowing in themselves what the Word of God is saying, what God is saying to them through these verses. They don't have the confidence to say, I see this, I can read this, and I believe this. And, you know, one example that comes to mind right off the top of my head, I must have been the Holy Ghost, was the example when Peter, and it's talked about in Paul's letter to the Galatians, when Peter played the hypocrite, he didn't have the confidence to stand up to the religious leaders that were coming to where Paul was ministering. And as a result, you know, they were ministering to Gentiles, and he had already been there and had been fellowshipping with these Gentiles. He had ate with them, he had fellowshipped with them. As he, you know, here we are back in this time period when there was question as far as if the new converts were going to follow the law or not, and the doctrine that was being perpetuated by some of the leadership of Jerusalem was, yes, these Gentiles need to follow the law. And they called them Judaizers, that would go and they would pronounce to the people, the new Gentile converts, you need to follow the law. Well, that's just ridiculous. And see, here's Peter, one of the very person that had the revelation on the rooftop in Acts chapter 10, when he was in Joppa. He had the revelation of the sheet with the four corners being let down, and the beasts that were coming out of that sheet. He heard the word to him was kill and eat. And he said, not so, Lord, for I have never partaken of anything that's unclean. And the voice of God said, don't you say that anything is unclean that I have called clean. And from that vision on that rooftop that day, the message of the gospel being delivered to the Gentiles was given, and Peter received it. Peter received that from God. God showed him that, and that was, you know, that was God's way of telling Peter, and who was supposed to go and tell the whole church, which he did, but then he was supposed to believe it himself, and he didn't. What did he do? He allowed the voices of other people that were speaking and living and declaring wrong doctrine, he allowed them to influence him. He was glorying in man was what he was doing. Because if you look at it, let's look at this over in Galatians. Because it fits right into to what we're talking about here. About cutting off your dependency on having to hear from God through the voice of a man. Well, that's good right there. I like that. God doesn't want you dependent on hearing his voice through somebody else's mouth. And I'm telling you, that is a huge problem in the body of Christ. People have no confidence that they can receive from God directly. They have no confidence in that. And as a result, they run over here, and they listen for a while, then they get their ears tickled, then they go run over there, trying to hear something from God through somebody else's voice. And I remember when I came to the Lord in 1989, that was the height of the move where there was a lot of prophets in the land. And so everyone was that's probably an overstatement. There was a number of people that would run from here to there to yonder, to hear a prophet speak over them. Well, you know, that's not the reason that you have prophets. You don't have a prophet because God wants to speak through you through his mouth, and so you have to run and find one to give you a word. But that's how that's the time period that I came into my walk with the Lord. I was influenced by it. I received some very powerful words, some things that to this day my wife and I still hold fast to. But you have to know that in that same time period, there was a lot of things said that weren't really from God. And a lot of people were led astray. Why? Why were they led astray? Because they had no confidence in their own ability to hear from God themselves. And they had to go running around looking for somebody else to tell them what God was saying to them. And that's just a shame. It shouldn't be that way. And nor are we to do like what the Corinthians were doing, and they glorying in men. You know, here's this spiritual leader, whether he's a prophet or whatever he is. Here's this spiritual leader. So let's everyone go. Let's go be a part of his camp. We'll all have the matching shirts. We'll all dress the same. Don't you know that goes on, folks? we'll all start sounding the same way. Oh, heaven forbid. And we'll all just be clones of whoever the person is at the top. Oh, my goodness. That's just so far from what God had in mind. Yes, he wants people to be blessed by ministers. Yes, he wants people to receive from the different callings that he has given to the body. But no, he doesn't want that to be the sole way that you receive your ministry from him. He doesn't. Nor does he want the individual to be to have such a following that people mistakenly are following the person instead of Jesus. You know, that's not right. And Paul made a point of making sure that the Corinthians knew that that was not the way that we were supposed to be. So going back to my point here in Galatians with Peter. You know, here he was, the man that had the revelation, the man that saw the sheet with the four corners let down on the, I believe it was Simon's house, Simon the Tanner, and he saw this vision, and it was God telling him individually. I mean, he didn't hear this from somebody else. He got it straight from God. He saw the vision. And he knew what the interpretation of that vision was. And that, which really, quite honestly, I've marveled at that before. That was the way that God revealed to humanity that the Gentiles, that's you and me, for those of us that weren't born in the Jewish descent, that the Gentiles were going to be welcomed into the body of Christ. Glory to God. Thank God for it. But that's the way he chose, by giving Peter this vision of the sheet let down by the corners and the unclean beast on it. And I marvel at the fact that Peter saw this and Peter understood what this was all about. I marvel in the fact that he could see that yes, the Gentiles are welcomed in, and yet here we are in the book of Galatians, and this was several years after that event. This was several years after Peter had that vision in Joppa. But here in Galatians chapter 2, We're just going to start at verse 1. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, that privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Very interesting right there. That they were still, they were still functioning under something that was tied to the law, circumcision. Circumcision was the act of circumcising a male child on the eighth day of his after his birth into the Abrahamic covenant. And you can see here that they're still practicing this. Peter already had the vision. They're still practicing this circumcision. And that because of false brethren unaware brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. You know, spy out our liberty, verse 4 again, which we have in Christ Jesus. You know, they're talking here about bringing them back under the rules of the law. And here, Paul is free from it. Paul, the preacher of grace, is free from that and is promoting this message. And these people were trying to put him back under the law. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. You know, that's a very interesting statement right there. Where he says that to whom we gave place by subjection. No, we didn't subject ourselves to this. And think about that. How many times have you been in a situation where someone who you felt like was spiritually, let's say, over you or had, was a spiritual leader, where what they were saying wasn't right? And here's Paul in this situation. What did he say? Did he say, I went ahead and submitted to their wrong doctrine? No, he didn't. He said, I didn't subject to them. No, not for an hour, not for a second. I didn't subject to that nonsense because we're free from the law by grace. But of these who seem to be, verse 6, somewhat whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. This is perfect. This is exactly what I was talking about back over in 1 Corinthians, that we're not to glory in men. He says the same thing right there. This must be the Holy Ghost. How about that? But of these who seem to be somewhat. Boy, here we go. And you see this all the time. All you got to do is turn on Christian TV and you'll see those that are somewhat among us. And, it seems like what they believe what they say is as pure as the driven snow, and that we're not supposed to question anything that comes out of their mouth. Oh, baloney. Now, I'm not saying that we're just supposed to be skeptics of everything, but nor do we swallow everything that we hear, because no person on this earth has the full revelation of the Word of God. We're all seeing through a glass darkly, every single one of us. Now, thank God for the ministry gifts. For example, I operate in the ministry of a teacher. I thank God for it. I believe that God has placed me in the body with this gift to be a blessing to people. But by no means do I think that everything that comes out of my mouth is just as pure as snow. I don't believe it. And neither should you. So what's
your protection from what I say? The Holy Spirit. And it is going back to what I said last week. It's our responsibility to grow up in the things of God, not to just accept everything that we hear and without putting it to the test of the Word of God, allowing the Holy Ghost to reveal to us whether or not it's truth or whether it's just someone's opinion or someone's wrong doctrine. Amen? And I don't care who says it. My goodness. See, and I've seen this before. I was in an environment where, well, such and such preached it this way. And so, you know, we can't question that. Oh, baloney. You know, that gives me that reminds me of Martin Luther. You know, Martin Luther questioned the whole entire Catholic Church. And thank God he did. You know, the Catholic Church in his time period, they were using money. It was like graft. They were taking money from people, and they were telling them that they could buy their way out of hell. I'm telling you, it was horrible. But Martin Luther came, and he wouldn't subject himself to that. He wrote down the, I don't know, 92 thesis, something like that. There was 90-some thesis points that he nailed to the church house doors. And it was basically that, hey, we're saved by grace, not by paying your money to the church. Now, don't you know that he was, he was not somebody that the church was happy with. How's that? He bucked the system. He didn't subject himself. He was just like Paul right here in Galatians, where he says, but of these who seem to be somewhat whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. That's the attitude we're supposed to have. Not that we should be ugly to one another. I'm not saying that at all. That's not what God wants us to be. But nor should we line up like little sheep following whatever mouthpiece is saying and with their name in lights. I don't care if their names are in lights. I don't even care what kind of miracles they have, to be quite honest with you. What I care about is what the Word of God says. If what they say lines up with the Word of God, praise God. I can receive from them. I can receive from anybody. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to start dressing like them or start sounding like them or start believing that everything that comes out of their mouth is 100% perfect. God doesn't want us to be that way. God wants us to only accept what the teacher says. The Holy Ghost says, what he confirms in our hearts. And you have to know that that's important to God, for us to receive confirmation for what we hear, whether or not it's truth or not. And when we come up against something that is not truth, that's just man's opinion, we've got to be smart enough to reject it, that it's not truth. It's simply man's ideas. And I've seen this myself, where I ran into this head on one time, just like a train, man, I'm telling you, went right against the wall. I came against somebody's ideas of how they believed that we were supposed to live our life, and they had it all figured out. And it didn't line up with the Word of God. And when I let them know that, they didn't like it. And they rejected the message. They rejected me. And it wasn't fun. Did it hurt? It did hurt. I have to admit. But the bottom line is that we hold on to truth, not man's ideas, not because of somebody said it that we admire, and we're not going to glory in men, no matter who they are. I appreciate the things that people have done, the commitment they've made, the ministries they've had. Like somebody like Kenneth Hagin, my goodness, yes. I appreciate his commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate the things that he's brought to the body of Christ, his stability, his walk with the Lord. And we can follow after people like that, but it doesn't mean that we have to accept everything, even that Kenneth Hagin said, like it was, like every word was gospel without testing it. We're supposed to test the spirits. We're supposed to see what's truth and what's not. And that goes for anybody that's speaking in a leadership or authority position. You see, and I'll get to Galatians here, but let me go back to Corinthians for a second. That whole letter of Corinthians, you know, just by the way Paul started that letter out, the way he addressed the people, and he's talking about, you know, how they've lined up behind these spiritual leaders, and he's really scolding them for that. As you look at the whole letter of 1 Corinthians, you see how he's laid out the different points in that letter. The thing that seems to rise to the surface, the underlying message of the whole book is grow up. Just simply grow up. Stop following people. You know, he talks about growing up in the third chapter. He's trying to get these people to recognize, in like in chapter 12, where he talks about the body of Christ, and you know, we're part of this body, and we've got these ministry gifts. And here the church of Corinth, they were all crazy with the gifts. They were, you know, everybody wanted to operate in the gift because they wanted to be somebody, you know, for all the wrong reasons. The reasons were not godly reasons. They wanted to do it for prideful reasons, to draw attention to themselves. And he's trying to correct all of this with these people. And in the bottom line, though, is he's trying to get them to grow up. You know, that's what, you know, I alluded to last week, where he, in the 13th chapter, he said, "When I was a child, I did the things of a child. But when I became a man, I put away the childish things." See, here again, you know, when you read a whole book like 1 Corinthians, as you take in that whole book, gradually, the underlying message of that book will begin to rise to the top. And that verse right there is one of the key verses in that whole letter. He's telling them, I see you, Corinthian church. You act like children. And I was a child once, but when I became a man, I put away those childish things. I stopped running after other people to tell me what I thought. I stopped doing those things to draw attention to myself. Now I'm doing things for one purpose, for the love of Christ, for the love of people. And that was the message as he wrote this letter, that he's trying to get this church to grow, to develop in the things of God, and not to be little babies. So let's jump back here to Galatians and go back here to Peter. We left Peter here. We kind of left him here. We went off on a rabbit trail, but that was good. Verse 4 of Galatians 2. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty. I just love the way it says that. Because these people did not have godly intentions. These guys that came in here, the false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Well, you're going to start seeing this more in the days ahead before Jesus' return. You're going to start seeing people that are going to spy out your liberties, and they're going to try to take you into bondage, and which is, let's hold your finger there. You can see in Paul's letter to Timothy, where Paul is trying to prepare Timothy for the eventual rise of these false prophets. Let's see if I can find it. Let's see. In his second Timothy chapter 4, I'll begin reading in verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. This is the point right here, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap up to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of the evangelist. So here he's telling them that these people are going to, in the last days, are going to heap teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn into fables. So in the days ahead, these are the things that are going to take place. The people are going to, they're going to run from one teacher to the other. They're going to really look for someone that's going to put them into bondage. And as you know, it's talked about in other, I believe Peter talks about it as well, about the latter days and the false doctrine that's going to come out. And if we're not sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Ghost, and we allow ourselves to listen to this false these false doctrines, it's going to cause us to be put into bondage. That's why God wants us on an individual level to receive from the Holy Ghost, to have confidence in our ability to receive revelation, understanding from God Himself. He lives right inside of us. You know, when we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, He came and He resides within us. And then when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we are immersed in the Spirit of God. He's right here. He's been sent to teach us. He's been sent to be our comforter, to help us. I'm telling you, I get so much help from the Holy Spirit. He is so wonderful. Even in just everyday routine things, the Holy Spirit is just amazing. How He helps me, how He brings understanding to my mind, not about biblical things all the time. I mean, in some instances, it's about how to fix my car. It's about how to lay tile. It's about how to fix my house. And there are things that the Holy Ghost has shown me that has just amazed me. And a lot of it is because, you know, I want Him to help me. I ask Him to help me. I expect His help. But you have to give Him some place in your life. If you're not giving Him any place, He's not going to barge in. He's not going to beat your door down trying to get your attention. He's a gentleman. He'll wait to be invited. And you have to welcome him in. You have to, you know, give your attention to him. Allow him the opportunity to minister to you, to teach you, to show you things. And again, it's not necessarily always biblical things. Yes, he will teach you Bible issues and subjects, but even in the natural, the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. He will reveal how to fix things. He'll help you on your job. He'll help you raising your kids. He'll help you with understanding finances. He'll teach you how to do whatever you need taught. Don't you think he understands everything? He understands it all, and he'll show you. But you have to have confidence in your relationship with him. And as I say that, understand, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. The Holy Ghost has been sent as our helper. But we have to acknowledge him. We have to allow him the opportunity. But don't misunderstand, Jesus is still Lord. And I know it's a bit confusing because you have the Trinity, you have the three persons of the Godhead, but one God, the three in one. And the Holy Spirit wants to be a part of your life. He wants to be involved with what you're doing. He wants to confirm the truth of God's word to you. He wants you to look to him. And that's why we don't glory in other men, because we have the Holy Ghost. But there has to be a level of confidence in you that you know him. And the only way you get that level of confidence is to spend time with him. To set aside a few moments here and there to acknowledge him, to say, Holy Ghost, I welcome you into my life. I welcome your ministry. I welcome your assistance. I welcome your enlightening the Word of God to me. And as you do that, you're going to notice that he's going to show up. He's going to enlighten you on whatever area that you need help with. You know, I've been tiling a floor in our kitchen, and there have been times that, you know, I've had to make a cut here or there, you know, cutting the tile, and, you know, I have to look at it, and, you know, lo and behold, here comes the answer on how to do it. And you know, so many times I think that we credit ourselves with the answer. Well, look what I did. And I've learned. I'm not this smart. You know, the other day, I was working on my vehicle. The water pump went out on it. And so I start working on it, and here comes the Holy Ghost giving me insight on how to fix it. You know, there was a part that I was trying to get loose, and I looked at it, couldn't figure it out. And I, you know, instead of getting frustrated and throwing the wrench across the room, you know, I've come to expect him to show up. I've come to expect his help, and I ask for his help. And he gave me the answer. And the next thing I know, now listen to this. This is so good. The next thing I know, I'm driving to the parts or to the parts store, and I go inside, and I ask for a part. I ask if they had a wrench because I needed a wrench to break this particular nut. And the guy goes back, and they have rental where you can rent them. You don't even have to buy them. Well, I took him home and it didn't fit. So then I'm going back to the parts house again. And, you know, and they have these big wrenches that you have to spend money on, and you have to buy those. And so I bought it and took it home, and it didn't work. So I go back to the store and return it. So I go to a different parts house. Now, you know, where did that idea come from to go to that next parts house? And I know it was the Holy Ghost, because I went in there, and they had tools to rent, and they had the one that fit. Who knew? I didn't have to pay any extra money buying any extra tool. I just rented that tool, got it home, broke that nut loose, and the vehicle's fixed now. You know, it's that kind of everyday walking with us that the Holy Ghost wants to do. He wants to be a part of our lives. He wants to help us. And it's up to us. But there has to be some level of confidence that we're hearing from Him, that we're receiving His wisdom to us. And going back to Galatians, see, with Peter received from the Holy Spirit this message about the Gentiles coming in. But Peter had no confidence in the message. He couldn't have. How could you have received the message about the Gentiles coming into the gospel and then done what he did when he was with Paul here in Galatians? We're going to read verse 6 one more time. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. That's so perfect, because that fits with what we're talking about, that we're not supposed to glory in men. God receives no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Then when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So it seems like right here, look at the people. You have James, you have Cephas, which is Peter, and you have John. James, Peter, and John. They're talking to Paul. They said, okay, you go minister to the circumcision, or to the uncircumcised, to the Gentiles, and we will minister to the Jewish people. So it seems like right here, Peter's on board with Paul ministering to the Gentiles. Verse 10, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I was also forward to do. But, verse 11, when Peter was come to Antioch, so he came to Antioch, where Paul was ministering to the Gentiles, I withstood him to the face. Boy, I tell you what, I would have loved to seen that. You know, that was probably very uncomfortable for Peter, for Paul to withstand him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. See, Peter was fearful. He did not have confidence in the message that he received from God. The one man who received the message about the Gentiles coming into the gospel, it only happened once, folks, and it was Peter. Peter received it and had no confidence in the message he received from the Holy Ghost. But what did he have more confidence in? In those guys that were coming in from the circumcision. So he had to separate himself from those dirty Gentiles, you know, because he had more confidence in those guys who were still following the wrong doctrine. I'm telling you what, this is powerful, folks. He had more confidence in people that were purporting the wrong doctrine, false doctrine. He had more confidence in them than he did in his own receiving the message from the Holy Ghost himself. Tell you, God gives you a word. Listen to this. God gives you a word. God tells you to do something. God reveals something to you. He reveals a truth to you. And it goes crosswise with somebody else's doctrine, their little pet doctrine that's false. And what do? You just cower down to that person because they're somewhat among us, and we don't try to buck the system. Baloney on all of that. If it's God, it's God, and if anybody else is contrary to it, we've got to have confidence in our relationship with the Holy Spirit and Him bringing the confirmation to our hearts that it's truth, that what He has shown us is truth, and forget about what everybody else is saying. I don't care if everybody else on the whole planet is believing false doctrine. What did Martin Luther do? Martin Luther was one of, he was like the lamb to the slaughter, because the whole church believed in something that was false, and here he comes pinning his thesis to the church house door, saying that's all garbage. What you're believing is wrong, and this is the truth, that we are saved by grace, not by giving your money to the church. You got to hold on to what's truth, no matter what the other voices around you say. If it's truth, it's truth. And don't be like Peter was in this situation. Don't allow yourself. Don't cower down to the somewhats among us because they disagree with what God has revealed to us. We have to grow up and be confident in our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus and the ministry of the Holy Ghost in our life. Now, I tell you, I speak this from experience because I've been hammered on this. Preaching something that I knew in my heart. I knew God showed it to me. I knew that the message was truth. And it went crossways with somebody somewhat among us who had a pet doctrine. And did I cower down? I did not cower down. I did not. Was it hard? Did I want to at times? I did. At times I wanted to just to make peace. Fooey on that. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And if God has shown you something, stick to your guns and hold fast to it, no matter who says what about it. Glory to God. And so we'll finish up here in Galatians with what Paul said to Peter. Poor little Peter. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. That's hypocrisy. He was carried away with they were a bunch of hypocrites. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews? Why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. We'll stop there. You see, Peter, he just didn't have confidence. He had more confidence in what those somewhats among us were saying than he did in his own personal revelation from God, that God only showed to him, in him alone, that the Gentiles were coming into the gospel. That's powerful. That's not what God wants. He does not want us to cower down to somebody else's wrong doctrine, to somebody else's pet doctrine, because eventually they're going to be wrong doctrines in the land that are going to take people to hell. And they're already here. And we have to have the confidence in the Holy Ghost being our teacher, and we have to have the confidence to stand up and say, I'm not following your trash. I'm not following after your wrong doctrine. This is what God is saying. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I've done my best this evening to follow the leader, the Holy Spirit. I pray that I've done that. I pray that I haven't spoke anything wrongly. And Father, I thank you for this message. And I believe that what this message that you've given me, I believe it's truth. I believe it's what you want for the body to grow up, to be responsible, to learn how to follow the teacher and not to glory in men. And I thank you, God. I pray that this message is received, and I believe that it's going to influence people and bless people. I hope it does, Father. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.